shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Yeah.
Nice.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast.
Episode 69.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hi.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I am Katie Nordgren.
I'm Chris Jeffa. And with us today is a former teacher, a political animal, a super funny, hilarious person who requested to be on episode 69. It's Lori.
You spent a lot of time in a high school, eh?
Yes, hi, thanks.
Hi, can I also be back on episode 420, please? That would also be nice.
It would be. It was always the issue. It was just like, okay, turn your textbook to page 70, and go back one page, please.
That's very clever.
Yeah. Turn your readers to page 69. We'll be reading My Sister Fanny, which I believe is a clip from Happy Gilmore. Oh, wait, no, Billy Madison. Sorry, I caught my Adam Sandler movies mixed up.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
And the worst of us. Especially the worst of us.
Mm.
So.
I like it.
Yeah. How are you doing, Chris?
Pretty good. So, we have been keeping people sort of up to date on BC politics just a little bit, just because it was, like, so all my life for the whole month. Yes, Lori and I worked on a campaign together. We don't actually say who it was.
Okay.
Just for some reason.
Yeah. Sure. Very easy to find out.
But, so it was, it ate up a lot of our life and kind of interrupted our podcasting schedule a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of keeping people like, we're all on tenterhooks and we don't know what's happening with the government. But you know what?
Now we do.
Yay!
We do know. Yes. And it's amazing. It's been 9 weeks, I think, since the actual election. And mm-hmm. It's taken until today to actually get a result. Until last night to get a result. Mm-hmm. So,
get those pilfy results. Hey, I don't work in politics. I can say it. Okay. I like a man with big teeth.
I don't know the acronym.
Oh, PILF, a prime minister, I'd like to...
That makes sense. But the prime minister, really?
Did I say
that
prime minister? Or no, premier.
Premier. Okay,
I'm sorry,
enough.
I got it confused with premier. No, it would be a PMILF, and I don't want to. He's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't really want to F either of them, to be honest with you. I'd like to get a beer and play some frolf.
Well, that's
a premier, I'd like to frolf.
Yes, yes, that's perfect. That's much nicer.
I'd take a hug, though.
Okay.
I'd take a hug, John Horgan, if you're asking.
And a round of frisbee golf.
Yeah.
And a round of sick-ass frisbee golf.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was like a whole legislative thing and a whole bunch of like very parliamentary processes that had to go down first. So
did you have to be hit with a ceremonial club at any point?
Well, there was like the usher of the black rod. episode 69.
The BBR.
Like locks everybody in the legislature and then like goes outside and like pounds on the door.
And turns off the lights and everybody has to make out.
Seven across the aisle.
7 minutes in question
That's
period.
That is why they don't let you take your phone in.
You'll send sex.
Yes. Yeah.
But then the usher of the black rod, like, pounds on the door, and then they announce the lieutenant governor, or lieutenant governor,
is it? Yeah, lieutenant governor,
okay.
Yes.
Sure. Reads like lieutenant. Whatever. And, whatever. So then there's all this ceremony, and, like, the former government, that feels nice to say, got all sworn in. There was a new cabinet. And we're like, what is all this ceremony? So we, like, madly, like, wrote a whole bunch of letters to, like, the new ministers being like, hey, fix this, which is pretty cool. Nothing happened, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, those letters may be still sitting there.
Yeah, but that's for, like, our colleagues to pick up and be like, we should fix this.
Yeah. This is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good idea, everybody. Yeah. And but basically there was a confidence motion and the former premier...
There was no confidence.
There was no confidence in the House. They had to debate shit for too long. And then finally the government fell and then the NDP were basically asked to form government with the support of the Green members.
And it happened so quickly. Like, I mean, we were kind of led to believe that it was going to take a long time to sort through things, even though we knew what the question was going to be.
Yeah.
And we, you know, I just like shut down my computer, turned the radio off. I was like, okay, I guess we wait until tomorrow and then maybe we'll get an answer.
Yeah.
And
your phone starts freaking
yeah.
out.
Yeah. I was at the lady show last night.
Yep.
And at intermission, I opened up my phone and it was a text from the BCNDP being like, hey, we've been asked to phone government. I was like, oh shit.
Get an email from John Morgan like, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big fan of yours.
Yeah.
Want to form government with me? Check yes or no. P.S. Do you like me? Want to go frolfing? Love, John. That's the email that went out.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, and then there was an email that went out, so I guess, like, yeah, prior to him coming out the doors. And I didn't know, I didn't take it seriously until I saw him actually come out the doors and make that statement, because there was lots of things happening and people saying unconfirmed, like, this is a new premier. And then I got an email from him saying, this has happened. But I was like, but you need to say that it's happened and not have it be an accident. Somebody accidentally hit send on that one email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so God, cool. That would be such
so
a...
embarrassing.
Oh, no. Yeah. If you, like, prematurely, like...
Yeah. You got, like, hit one, like, hit, like, door A or door B, and you're like, I have to send that email out as soon as this happens. But which one... Yeah, I sent... Yeah. I gave it a bad... title and I sent the wrong one
every single time. I have to send a mass email. I'm like and then of course inevitably some idiot replies all to it and so that I no longer look like a stupid person if I made an error at any point.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about my story of the terrible typo where I was editing this piece of stuff that we were supposed to send out to 30,000 people? I shared this on the campaign.
Oh Lord.
And we read over it so many times. There were lots of different eyes on it and we just missed this one thing where it said that we were for $15 a day minimum wage instead of $15 an hour minimum wage. And it was after it was printed and sent out and people called us and were like, now, I have a feeling it might be a typo, but just in case, like, can I check that your position isn't, like, indentured servitude? Yeah, please rest assured that that's a typo. But one, like, old lady, like, called and was just like, I can't believe it, I'm so upset, how could you do? And I'm like, ma'am, it was seriously a typo, like, chill your ass.
$15 a day. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there are those people who wait at their door and they get some kind of publication or letter and they are the typo police. They'll... Yeah, they will look through there, and as soon as they find something, they will call them. Like,
didn't you mean?
Yeah, some terrible, like, version of Clippy that just, like, shows up at your office, like, excuse me.
Excuse me, let me put down my pith helmet for a moment here. Just a specific person who's not very nice.
But yeah, so anyway, so that's very exciting, and so, like, my life's gonna get twist turned upside down. In the next little while, because then we're gonna actually form government, so I'm worried about
I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there and tell you how John Horgan became the premier.
Oh my God, where is he from? In West Vancouver Island.
In west of Langford. Born and raised. Frisbee golf is how he spent most of his days. Having a brew and he's a cool, cool dude and he's blah, 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 blah. I'm amazing. I'm basically Weird Al.
That was, you pulled that quite, yes.
Yeah, quite, yay.
Yes. That was very good.
So very nice.
So yeah, so I'm worried about this podcast and it getting scoured for evidence of debauchery, but who cares?
I don't think any of us are important enough.
No. So I'm content to be a behind-the-scenes peon still for quite some time.
Yes, unnamed peon.
Yeah.
Number 42.
Yes, exactly. Number 69.
If you have to be a peon, that would be the one to be, for sure.
Peon.
And can I repeat the CBC headline that I just heard on the way in here, which was, BC gets a new premier and a nude erection.
A nude erection.
Yeah, well, they're changing the branding of the legislature to really emphasizes the pointy bit. I'm not even joking. We have to use the shaft and the dome in all of our branding now.
The shaft and the dome.
Yes.
Don't neglect the dome.
That sounds like an amazing name for a political podcast, though.
Shaft in the Dome?
Oh, my good Lord.
Can we do one fake episode of the Shaft in the Dome podcast, much like the McElroy brothers will be in Trolls 2? Their legacy podcast they created.
Our own special bonus episode.
We like to do bonus episodes to please only ourselves and no one else. Literally no one else.
Speaking of Katie's song parodies, you were thinking of doing another song parody for... do we even need to say that, or do you
I don't even remember what it was, so you're going to have to remind me.
Okay, so we've been watching The Glorious Ladies of Wrestling.
Yeah!
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, rather.
Me too.
Also
glorious. Isn't it so good?
It's so good. I was like, I look at those, the people in that, I'm like, that is the outfit that I wish I had, and that was the look that I definitely, definitely wished for in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's like, why can't I have hair like that?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember I used to watch, like, WWE wrestling in, like, 91, 92, because we didn't get glow up here. Like, you'd have to have super mega satellite dishes, and I just watched, like, what older boys would watch, like, at family gatherings and stuff like that, so I, like, knew about Hulk Hogan and all that kind of stuff, but I remember thinking that, Macho Man's wife, Miss Elizabeth, was really cool, and because she got to wear a wedding dress with big mutton chop sleeves, because I'm 6 years old, right? I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful. And now I look back on these things, and I'm like, I want glitter, and tits, and blood, and stitches, and, like, just make it as extreme as possible. Mm-hmm. So good.
It's such a good show. And it really makes me kind of want to do wrestling. Because I'm like, Alison Brie is super tiny, and she just, like, trained really hard, and then you just learn all the beautiful choreography.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it looks really cool.
There's one real wrestler in the cast, and I think I knew that she was doing the show, like, a year ago, and I was like, oh my god, thank god she's working again, because she's been fucked over by every possible wrestling promotion in the last, like, 15 years. Yeah. She was wrestling for NXT and Shimmer, and Shimmer is, like, the follow-up to Glow, basically. It's, like, an all-women's...
Ah, Glow and Shimmer.
And she... I don't know if she wrestled for Ring of Honor, but she was in NXT for a while, and then she was in the WWE as someone named Karma. Otherwise, she's wrestled under Amazing Kong or Awesome Kong, and it's the woman who plays Tammy is Kia Stevens, who is Amazing Kong or Awesome Kong.
Her character is Welfare Queen in the...
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like a total...
So she's been doing it for a while?
She's been wrestling for like 15, 20 years.
See, I thought when they said there was a real wrestler in the show, I thought it was the one who turned out to be the Viking, who was like the gold medal athlete.
Yeah.
I thought, because she was stoic and didn't have a lot of lines, so I thought she was like the real wrestler, like an athlete wrestler.
I think that is an actress who made the movie Good Dick, actually, which is this movie called Good Dick I've never seen, but I looked it up and she like wrote, produced, directed and starred in it, and so I was like, oh god, why hasn't she said anything on the show yet? But no, Kia Stevens is Tammy, aka the Welfare Queen, and so her saying, like, this is offensive, is just, like, not a parody, but it's, like, a direct parallel to her, like, being in wrestling and having them make her, she wanted to be, like, a, her thing was she wanted to be, like, a BBW sex bomb.
They called her the Amazing Kong?
They called her a Kong. Right? Because she was like a big black woman, right? And it's so dreadful. But you don't necessarily pick up on it if you're a white person. You're like, oh yeah, she's like a big woman. She kicks ass, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, like,
Yeah,
so not cool. And it just, like, so she gets to kind of, like, say that back to the wrestling community, because now the show is, like, probably, other than WWE SmackDown and Raw, is probably, like, the biggest thing in wrestling right now.
Yeah.
And it means there's going to be more women wrestlers in the next 5 years, so I'm really excited about it.
Because it seemed like it inspired a lot of people.
Yeah,
like,
I think it'll do what Whippet did for roller derby.
That it'll be kind of amateur wrestling at the,
and
like,
then it will become
gym,
a bigger deal.
Will,
and I would totally do it, and I think I'm going to hurt myself so bad. All I do is lift weights, and I hurt myself all the time. My SI joint's out of place right now. It hurts really bad. If I was getting, like, fucking backbreakered all the time, it would be a really rough sitch.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of nice if your other muscles hurt, then you don't notice.
Right? It's true. I really want to learn to at least fall in the ring. That's something I'd like to learn.
Yeah. I learned how to do some cool stuff when I took, like, 2 months of Aikido.
Mm-hmm.
And to do the, like breakfall things where, like, you would throw your leg down and then I could, like, roll backwards and then roll up to standing.
Yeah. Mm.
Which, like, when you do it the first time, you're just like, oh, because they just tell you how to do it, and, like, kinetics, it just works.
Yeah, it's just
when
physics.
You put your leg down that way, you just roll backwards, and then you just, the momentum brings you right back up, and you just stand up again, and I was like, ah!
How did I do that? Witchcraft!
My chi!
My ki.
So I kind of, like, kind of am into that choreography, so I'm like, you and I should probably be a wrestling duo now.
Oh,
God damn it.
What are you gonna call yourselves?
We've already done drag together as the Blues Brothers.
I don't know, rhubarb and turnip or something? I'm not sure exactly. It makes me think of this thing from the Lumberjanes where there's, like, a pair of friends, one who's very large, one who's very small, and the large one picks up the small one and throws her. It's like fastball special!
Well, like, our actual, like, profile picture for our podcast is, like, Katie looking like a beefy kind of lumberjack and me perched on her shoulder. Like, that our friend Luna cartooned out. So, like, it'd be fun.
We really want to be able to do that in real life. Like, that's my weightlifting goal, is that I can support Chris in the crook of one arm.
Ooh.
Right now, my weightlifting goal is to deadlift 100 kilograms by September, but we'll see.
I've gained a lot of weight, so, like, I'm just
so
making,
am
it,
I,
I'm
buddy.
Making, I'm making it harder so for
am
you.
I haven't weighed myself in forever, but I know that I haven't, like, lost weight because I've put on so much muscle.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely, like, I'm heavier than I ever have been, I think, but I also have less body fat than I did, like,
so
a year
strong.
Ago, so I'm very beef.
Yeah.
I felt my arms the other day, and I was like, oh! I guess I could do that anytime I want.
But, to go back to my original thing.
To back to Glow.
Glow, there was, like, when the British character does, like, a rap that's, like, kind of an awkward rap, but it kind of, like, picks up momentum. I don't know if you saw...
I'm thinking. I definitely have seen it because I've watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
But Glow did, like, their own rap.
Oh. Yeah. Professional wrestling is our game. But apparently there is a rap.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, we're the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. We're the champions in the ring. That's how it goes. It's like, my name is Katie, and I'm here to say, wrestling made me kind of gay. But I thought we could do like a one-off, like 30-minute special where we do the gorgeous ladies of podcasting because it's glop.
But could it just be the whole thing? Could just be like but you going like smacking the table?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. To the gorgeous ladies and of podcasting, it? Nobody listens to our thing. Yeah, the very small amount of people listen to it, I think.
Yeah, but I think you could narrate it quite well. You could be like, oh, she's got her in the something.
Oh, yeah, we can pretend to be commentators.
Oh, she's really giving our Rudba money.
But it's like podcast commentators. Yeah. But it's like, oh, she's really asking the hard-hitting questions. Ka-chung, ding, ding, ding.
Oh, look at that callback. That was seamless.
Oh, dear God.
It's a terrible idea. We shouldn't
and
do
half
it.
An hour is a bit much, probably.
Yeah, that, for sure. But if we could just talk about, like, wrestling and podcasting all at the same time, that'd be
Well, you
fun.
Mean like we do every episode?
I'm just excited that you're starting to slowly love wrestling. Little by bits and pieces.
That show was really good. And then we read an article with Betty Gilpin, who's, like, the main
She's
character.
Debbie,
yeah.
Okay. Debbie Egan.
Yeah.
And
with her milk-swollen tits.
She, like, basically the actresses, like, their journey in, like, training for the show and stuff mirrors what they say in the show about how, like, wrestling made me feel really strong and awesome in my body, and I was so insecure before, and now it's, like, and it's, like, that actually happened for the actresses.
Yeah, because they're, like, doing
so cool.
a lot of moves,
okay.
right? Like, they learned quite a few of them. None of the dangerous ones, but, like, holds.
They basically did everything.
Yeah.
They didn't have
to listen to an interview, yeah.
But there, I mean, the stuff where it's, like, diving off the top rope and, like, jumping outside, it's got to be stunt people just because, like, the insurance would never cover it. But a lot of the stuff they did themselves, right? Which is so cool.
So
I love it. I love wrestling.
Yeah, so now I'm starting to really like it, and I definitely binged it, like, on the first day it came out.
I'm definitely going to make you watch a couple of Asuka matches. I think you'd really like her.
Okay.
She's this amazing wrestler from Japan. She's technically perfect, and she's so, like, crazy awesome. She's like, I am Asuka, I am the best! No one can defeat me! You know, like, she's so extreme.
So much bravado.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, 5'4 or whatever, but she kicks the shit out of everybody that she wrestles. They're just like, there's no one can compete.
So what's the current state of women's wrestling? There is, like, a women's wrestling league?
There's a league
or...
called Shimmer, but it's not televised widely. WWE has started bringing in more female wrestlers, and they're largely on NXT, which is their, like, new wrestler promotion, or, like, younger or up-and-coming. But, of course, there's people in their 40s on the show who definitely should have been moved up a long time ago. But there's, like, they get a lot of people from New Japan, so they'll bring Japanese wrestlers over to come and do that. So they have Shinsuke Nakamura, they have Asuka, they have a new guy whose name I can't remember because he doesn't have a gimmick. He's just, like, a Japanese guy with a lot of muscles. He's kind of cute, whatever. I don't know anything else about him. Kenobi or something like that. No, that's from Star Wars. Shinobi, I can't remember, something like that. But for women, SmackDown and Raw have a few, for sure. There's some big ones, but there's still largely, like, the beautiful ladies, kind of, that used to be popular in the late 90s, like Sable and stuff. Like, I don't know if you remember them, but I just remember all the posters people had in their lockers in, like, 98, 99. So that's where I'm coming from. Like, I don't know when you taught high school, but...
I don't think anybody had any wrestling pictures in their lockers.
Yeah, so, like, but, like, I was in junior high during the Attitude Era, so there was just, like, constantly people walking around in Austin 316 shirts and, like, The Rock shirts before he was a movie star. But, yeah, so there are definitely a few really cool women wrestlers. We had one on our podcast a few months ago.
From Vancouver?
Yeah, Cat Power. Oh. She's wicked. She's super cool. We should get Nicole Matthews on, too, because she's, like, the ECCW champion, like, cross-gender champion. She kicked ass, like... I love wrestling, guys. I love it so much. Because it's, like, very, it really, like, relieves the itch of wanting to see people fight, which is, like, a deep-seated sort of weird, fucked-up human thing, I think, where you're like, yeah, conflict.
Get them.
But also just, like, I like seeing badass women do cool things. Or very interesting men do cool things.
Yeah. And then you know that no one's, like, really, like... hurting each other that bad.
Sometimes people get hurt so bad.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's some... Yeah, Mick Foley is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. That's Mankind. He was really famous for... He had, like, a sock puppet that was... He had, like, this... His whole thing was he wore, like, a leather mask and was like, I'm crazy! But he fought The Undertaker. Everybody knows The Undertaker, right? In the Hell in a Cell in 1998. It's a 16-foot steel cage. And they fucked up a spot, and Mick ends up dropping through the cage 16 feet to the ground, and then a chair follows him down and smacks him clean in the face.
Oh, no.
And he's just like, so it took about 30 seconds for him to get back up, and when he did, a tooth came out of his nose.
Oh,
and he's just bleeding like crazy, and then like, he doesn't remember.
And this happening live on camera?
Yeah, well, it's like pay-per-view, so he's like, gotta sell it, gotta keep going. So, and he's like what do they call that, like strong-style wrestling is where they don't hold anything back, they're just like hitting for real, they're bleeding for real.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so he's got like he's out of it, he doesn't know what's going on, he's like, I gotta get the tacks, and Undertaker's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm gonna get the tacks, so he gets a bag of thumbtacks, and like, shakes him out in the ring, he's just like, just do it, man. The guy's like, I don't wanna hurt you like this.
Oh my God.
Undertaker's like, this is a bad idea, but he has to do it anyway.
Oh.
I love wrestling.
Wow.
He just threw him down onto a bed of tacks?
It's a thing that people... Apparently, it's like, it hurts, but it's not very dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, they'll boil them and stuff first, right? Like
sure.
Could they boil them and, like, maybe, like, dull them
a little? Well, it would hurt more if they were dull, okay. I think. I've also seen backyard wrestling where they dump a box of Lego out and then suplex someone onto a pile of Lego. So it hurts.
Terrifying.
Wrestling does hurt a lot, but you can... eliminate the, you can minimize the risk to yourself, but, like, people fully get thrown onto aluminum stairs.
Yeah.
Like, it hurts real bad. But this is why I'm like, I want to wrestle! I don't want to get hurt!
But you said that's a different style of wrestling, so
there's,
like, an entry point wrestling.
Well, yeah, there's the, and I want to be a heel, and a lot of heels, their gimmick is you saw Glow, it's the bad guy, right? They're like, I don't want to get hurt! And they run around, they're like, no! That'd be so funny. And Steve Venegas, past guest Steve Venegas, was telling me, like, you could be like The Miz. That's his whole thing. He doesn't want to get hurt. Yeah, his name's The Miz.
Like, miserable or like...
Like, M-I-Z? I don't...
Like, I'm a feminist?
No, it's a dude. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know
but is
what
that,
his
like, the
gimmick
reference?
Is, I guess. No, it's just his name is just The Miz. M-I-Z.
Okay.
Or M-I-Z if you're American,
okay.
I suppose. A lot of Canadian wrestlers. Got lots of them. Yeah. Lots of people from Ontario. Yeah, I love Kevin Owens, and I could just go on all day. I better stop. Wrestle Boys.
Wrestle Boys, the podcast.
I love Wrestle Boys and Wrestle Girls. They're so good. It's a new thing for me, that loving it in the last couple of years, so.
Nice. So yeah, basically that, my week was just politics and watching good TV and reading my, like, trashy kind of sex BDSM book. Fiction, good stuff.
Yeah.
When you said... throw down a box of tacks and throw them on. I'm like, I think there was a scene like that in the thing that I definitely read a thing where they just cut her with very thin razor blades a lot, but she really likes it because she's marked by the gods to like it.
Huh. I should probably read these cushy old books.
They're
at some
pretty
point.
Fucking good. And it's like a good fantasy story too. Like it's so like fantasy adventure. It's very Game of Thronesy.
It's porno times though.
But like, yeah, there's definitely, it's like, she's like a courtesan basically who's like, her whole thing is she was marked by a god to like, enjoy extreme pain as pleasure. Anyway, and like, I'm not even like that into BDSM stuff, but like, reading about it, it's written very well.
Would you say it's quite erotic?
It is. So I stayed up till like 3 a.m. reading it last night.
Oh, you're such a bad dude. And you're like, why do I feel so bad at work? Oh yeah, right. That
so
whole thing.
Tired. Yeah.
That whole thing.
It's fun.
How was your week, Lori?
My week was
mostly about politics.
My week was, there are two kind of parallel struggles running through my week. One is politics, and that was resolved last night. I mean, I know there are struggles to come.
Mm-hmm.
And the parallel struggle is my cat won't poop.
Oh no!
And I was waiting for a resolution on both of these things, and I felt like they were running parallel. And I was like, I'm checking the litter box, I'm checking Twitter.
You're waiting for the shit to drop,
basically. I am waiting, and I would talk to him. I'm like, come on, do I have to squeeze you? Like,
oh, the cat, I thought you talked about John Horton.
Yeah, well, what do I have to squeeze? Like, what do I have to do?
Who do I have to squeeze to get some shit happening around here?
And from reading lots of, like, reading books and watching movies, you expect that, like, there's symbolism and these things will happen at the same time. So as soon as that was resolved, I was like, he's gonna poop.
Hopefully your cat shit while you were here.
I hope so too. I've taken him to the vet 3 times this week. He's had like fluid stuck in the back of his neck twice this week, and he's had an enema, which made him very unhappy.
Really?
Yeah.
The cat wouldn't be happy about an enema.
No. He came back looking pretty traumatized. So, yes, I'm hoping it's happening now. So the new thing in my life is I'm going to have to give my cat needles and inject him with fluid, which is apparently a thing people do, and it's a thing that I thought was super indulgent. Watching people do to their cats, I was like, oh, you never catch me doing that, but you're about to catch me doing that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's my life. That's my week. I've been waiting for a political resolution and also,
Cat to shit.
Yeah.
How old's your cat?
9, 10, that's something like that.
That's not that old. No. Not for a cat.
Yeah.
That's like a young, middle-aged cat.
Yeah. He's quite, yeah.
Sprightly, apart from the whole not shitting
yes.
thing.
Yes. And jerk. That has gotten him down. It's made him...
Well, that would get me down. It gets me down when I do. Being constipated's like the worst. I'd rather be constantly shitting than not shitting at all. I don't know if that's true. I don't really like either extreme that much.
Neither is good. There's a good, like, in between.
Yeah. I think a cat to be constantly shitting, that's going to get everywhere. That's not good.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think by the time you've had a cat 9 years, you love them enough that you'll inject them with whatever.
Yeah. I've only actually had him 2 years, so I don't know what my problem is.
Well.
Yeah.
You just love harder than the average bear.
Yes, I bonded to him post-federal election when I got laid off from a losing election campaign. I spent a lot of time with my cat. We were like, ooh, it's November. We'll just, like, hang out at home together. And I just sat on the couch and, like, we bonded. Yeah.
What's your cat's favorite Netflix shows?
He tends to turn his back, but he likes to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has no interest in, like, sounds or other things, but he likes to just sit there.
He has no interest in sounds. That's very funny.
My former snake greatly enjoyed watching television.
Really?
Yeah. I miss her very much. We're not allowed to have them in New S. This is established canon.
You ran How into. Do you know?
I ran into Barry.
She got ratted elevator. Out by a neighbor.
But not about my rats, thankfully. Just to say, I had a terrarium in the elevator. The guy was like, "Oh, you got fish?" I was like, "No, actually, I have a snake." And they asked me a bunch of questions. Seemed super friendly.
Yeah.
And 3 days later, I got a letter from my strata council saying you can't have this and you need to get rid of it.
New S bylaw.
It was not a small exotic. It was very large. Actually.
So it's about trafficking, or it's
there's just a bylaw, and it's just you can't have any non-native snakes to BC in your home. And it was a ball python, which is not native to BC. They are not in any way harmful. This is not the kind of snake that gets out and strangles a toddler,
in Edmonton or whatever we've heard.
Yeah. In New Brunswick. Yeah, but those are usually like boas that get out and do that because they're a large constrictor, but a a ball python is a constrictor, and it did get around my neck a few times, and it squeezed, but I could get it off of me, no problem. It's like, you wouldn't die from it.
How big? How long?
It just chokes you just a little so that it feels good?
Sure, Kushiel, whatever you say. It actually did feel kind of cool, because it would, like, undulate a little bit, which was a nifty feeling, but she would just, like, hang out on your shoulders, and if you watch, when Tessa would play a game... Or when we would watch TV, she would just, like, periscope up and just watch the moving, like, shapes and things. And she would just be like...
Was there a different reaction for animals on the screen or
No, because she can't... The snake's vision isn't great, like, but she could see, like, colors and movement and stuff like that. So she just kind of enjoyed seeing things go by. Yeah. But for the most part, she just slept. Snakes aren't scary, man. Like, they're so chill.
But you ran into this neighbor.
I saw Barry on the elevator for the first time since, like, March that this all went down.
He's been avoiding
and her. He looked so scared when I walked into the, because it was like a packed elevator, so it wasn't just the two of us. If it had just been the two of us, I would have let him fucking have it.
Yeah.
In my own way, which is like, just so you know, we're very allergic to all animals, and we can't really have pets, and you made us get rid of a very beloved pet for no reason whatsoever. Like, you may have had the right to do it, but, and I would have gone on all 16 floors about this. But I didn't get the right, I didn't get the time to do it, which made me sad. But he did visibly shrink when I got in the elevator. He was like, no one can see the facial expression I just made, but it was quite perturbed.
Cowering.
It was a callow expression. Quite. Mm-hmm. I hate him. We all hate Barry.
Can you stick a letter under his door?
My mom suggested that I would just put, like, paper snakes under his door.
Maybe find some actual snake skins and just put them under
his
door.
Well, I got them. I still have some from the sheds. I could just, like, put little pieces under for a couple. No,
that
I don't want to do that.
That seems antagonistic.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, like, I would just like to tell him how it really felt for me, and then he could be like, oh, well, sorry, I guess. I just fucking hate old men. He's such a dick.
Basically.
Pretty much. Whatever.
Oh, man. You, I'm changing the topic totally dramatically again.
Okay.
We were talking about wrestling and strong stuff and whatever, but Lori, you're, like, a strong person that does bike trips everywhere. You, like, just did, like, a circle bike thing on the Sunshine Coast, which
I did.
Goddamn hilly.
You did a circle bike.
I did a circle. I rode my bike in a circle until eventually I got somewhere.
But, like, she rode, like, up the Sunshine Coast and then took the ferry across to Powell River and then across to Comox and then down the island and back, which is, like, I would love to do that, but I'm weak.
Were you on the galloping moose?
I was not. I was just on highways and roads. Ah, gotcha. Yes, there was no goose. I went on one very brief separated bike trail to ENN or something in Nanaimo. Yeah. No, it's great. And the nice thing about biking, I think you don't need to feel discouraged about it, is that you go a little bit. You don't have to go the whole way each day. You can go on short days and, like, get where you need to go. You can walk up a hill if you need to walk up a hill. Mm-hmm.
Do you take camping stuff with you?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
My parents regularly will do, like, a 45K bike ride just on a day, and I'm like...
Just for fun.
That's crazy.
It is.
The longest I've ever biked was, like, 33 kilometers, which is, I think, from the ferry terminal in Victoria down to Victoria. I was exhausted. It took us, like, 4 hours. But we had a huge headwind, so that was...
Makes it tiring.
But I'm not good at it. I don't like bikes. I'm glad you do.
I do love bikes. Like, I really love bikes. There was something I was... Yeah, there was just someone was talking on CBC Radio today about speed and just talking about effortless speed. And sometimes you get that on your bike and it's just such a rush to be like, I'm just making myself move and you're just adding a little more energy in you. Even if you're going slightly uphill or slightly downhill, you just feel like you've got this great speed. Wow. And you just go a little bit at a time. Like, I've ridden my bike on long trips before. I rode my bike from Banff to California once by myself.
Holy shit! Yeah. By yourself. That's amazing.
I didn't start out by myself. I started with a friend. We left Banff together as friends. And we are still very good friends.
Oh, no. But the bike trip
But you parted with some animosity.
We parted just past Nelson, and she decided she didn't want to finish the trip, which is fine. I mean, that's her prerogative, but it made the trip different than I thought it was going to be. So yeah, then
I had to go alone.
Yeah. So I had to, you know, buy a new stove and just kind of get down with the reality that I was going to be sleeping in my tent by myself. So I rode down the west coast of the United States by myself.
Powerful.
And I was 25. I was like, well, I guess I'm going to do this. I mean,
because
the plan was already...
to do that, maybe. Mm-hmm. Is that how old Chelsea was when she rode her bike across?
I think so.
Somewhere
like
about
that.
Yeah, we have a friend who did it across Canada. Just crazy. Like, that's nuts. I'm sorry, I've said crazy a bunch of times this episode, and I don't normally say that.
Hogwild.
Don't mean to be using the ableist language.
Yeah.
I meant bananas.
Yeah.
Bonkers, if you will.
I like Buckwild.
Buckwild's good.
Yeah. Hogwild.
It just makes me think of sex, though. Buckwild is like, that's
the... It's episode 69.
It is. It's true, it is.
What are we trying to do here?
It's true.
Be innocent.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. But being on your bike seat all day, I would say, is like the opposite of erotic.
So I did a joke recently about biking, because I tried biking, and it just, like, isn't my thing. I don't think, like, I live in New West, because it's all, and it's fucking all 45 degree angle hills, basically. And I never did it enough so that it didn't hurt. Is it true that you build up a snatch callus?
Yes.
Yes. It's not an actual physical callus. It's because it's mostly on your butt, and you do get some butt calluses, I would say. But
it's
it's
your sit bones.
Yeah.
Kind of
building up some, like, cartilage or something
you
like that.
You just get comfortable. Like, you find the right position to be in, and you don't put weight on those pressure points. And it can be very uncomfortable. My friend and I were talking at the end of one very long day of biking, and we were trying to describe what might actually be the physical, like, result of what was happening, and, like, the long-term result. And then I was trying to come up with a metaphor for it. I said, and I felt like when you take a flower, like a rose, and you press it in the dictionary, and I said, I feel like I have become a pressed rose. And she said, I feel like a squashed bug.
That's beautiful. That sounds like a Stuart McLean story, basically. Like, Marley's vagina felt like a pressed rose. May he rest in peace.
Ooh, I know. I never liked him anyway. I feel like that may be the most damaging revelation of my life.
Oh my god!
I know.
Oh no, that was the perfect, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. That's so funny. Pascal's Kyle Carpenter and his writing partner are doing a Fringe show that's like a parody of the Vinyl Cafe.
The loving parody?
I guess. It's more loving now.
Yeah. You have to.
It was originally meant to be a bit more of a sharp parody, I think, and now it's kind of like,
ooh. I know. It has become uncomfortable to have disliked him as much as I do.
Yeah, I mean, personally, or just his body of work?
I've never met him as a person. His stories, his delivery, the whole thing.
That faux folksy business.
Yeah. I know, that
people you're not like, Garrison Keillor.
Yeah.
Keillor?
Also boring.
Also boring.
Yeah.
Old white dudes talking about bucolic, like, unurban living.
How it was the good old days back then. Yeah. It's like,
back when we put gravy on our light bulbs. That's the only story I remember. Dave and the Christmas turkey.
Back when we, you know, treated women terribly and...
It gave them dogs' names.
Yeah.
This is my wife, Marley.
Oh my god. I started riding my bike this week.
Did you?
Yeah, excellent. I finally fixed it, aka took it out of the shed and inflated the tire.
I can't ride it, it's broken.
I got so sick of waiting. It's so hot out right now, and the bus stop that I have to wait for a transfer, it's not just one bus to work, I have to take two, and waiting at the bottom for, like, the most unreliable bus in the city...
The 20?
In the blazing hot sun, because there's no shade at that bus stop. I was just like, fuck this! So then I started riding my bike, and so yes, I am very sore on my lower bits, but, like, I have a fixed gear bike, and so I just, like, stand up and ride for the first little while until I can, like, ease myself down onto the seat, and then once you get going, then I was just like, it's so nice, you get, like, a beautiful breeze. Mm-hmm.
You get to work a little bit faster.
Yeah. Oh, I get to work in, like, 10 minutes.
Holy
as
shit!
As opposed to, like, 30 to 45 minutes.
That's crazy! Yeah, You probably could have walked faster than the bus gets you to work.
Some days. I have walked to work before, especially when it was really snowy, I just walked to work.
I've completely forgotten about the snow. Like, we've had such extreme weather this year, hey? Yeah. Like, it's gone from, it snowed for, like, a month straight to, like, it's 30 degrees.
Yeah.
And nothing in between, it felt like. There was nothing in
between. No, it just felt like it rained a lot in between. It was kind of sad and miserable.
It was just, like, gray and, like, 8 degrees for a million years, and then suddenly it's so crazy hot again. It's like, what the... we used to be a mild climate.
Yes.
There used to be not such a vast difference.
Oh, my God! Okay.
Episode 69! Yeah.
Let's take a break. I wasn't recording any of that stuff, but it brings us to our next topic, which is codependent friendships. Katie was just talking about how, I know how she do.
You know how I do. And, Chris ran interference for me with my parents on Sunday at my anniversary show at Big Rock. And
I was thinking you maybe shouldn't say that on
the podcast. No, it's fine. It's not interference, because it's not like, fix my parents. It's just I was distracted by the things I was stressed out about, and my mom doesn't like to see me be anxious.
Yeah.
And so you just distracted her, and then I was able to just be anxious.
Your parents are so interesting, because she was like, let me tell you about this awesome bike trip that we did that was, like, all of these wineries, and let me tell you about the next vacation we're doing. I'm like, tell me fucking everything. Your lifestyle is,
P.S.,
like...
take me with you. Take me with you, BR. Let's go.
She and I would have so fun.
You would have so much fun. You're, like, the same... That's probably why I like you so much, is you're almost identical.
Oh, no!
Is that you just... This is a realization of the moment?
My mom's a Taurus and you're a Capricorn.
Yeah. So I'm, like, a little more loosey-goosey than her. Yeah, not quite as stubborn, but
you're
still
the, you're
stubborn.
The, you're a ram and she's a bull.
Yeah.
You're a fish goat, she's a bull. Yeah.
No, I think your mom is so cool. And so, like,
she's the shit, I love
her. We had fun, but then it's like, yeah, it kind of helped that then you could just burn out your anxiety without everybody being like,
fuss.
What's wrong, Katie? You should feel better.
I just need to fuss. That's what I need, to burn out my fuss, and then I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm great in a tragedy. I'm great in a serious catastrophe, but when something is, like, mildly bad... forget about it. That's when I'm fussy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just have to fuss.
And so I just roll my eyes and gently pat you and just ignore you and let you burn it out.
Yeah.
Yes,
and that's the best solution.
And if I need something, I can just ask for it. It's groovy.
Yeah.
It's great. That's why friendship is the best.
Yay.
And you have a friend like that.
I do have a friend like that. I wouldn't say it's exactly like that, but my friendship is a friendship of opposites.
Yeah.
Which kind of shocks me because I have many friends who are similar to me, but my closest friend, my best friend, is my opposite in every way. And
every way?
Yeah, I would say, can I think of a way when we're not opposites? I don't know. I'll have to
work on
that.
But you enjoy spending time together, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, I mean, it is the comedy of our friendship often that we're so opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived together for a long time, too, as roommates.
We lived together
for about 3 years.
And you're
years.
Still friends.
Yes.
Impressive.
Yes. We were strangers when we moved in together as roommates.
Oh,
yes.
That's nice. Yeah. I didn't know that.
See, that can work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you'd already been friends, you would not be friends now, probably. Yeah.
No,
or you take a couple years and then you recover and it's all good and then you love them very much.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, okay.
It happens. Not my friend, your friend.
Yeah, okay. But that's, sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, and I think that was a good way because I was on my best behavior. I mean, the most marked difference between us is that I am very untidy and she is very tidy. So she's a very organized person and I am a person who tends to be a little bit more loose in my in what I will accept in my home environment, in my work environment, and all those things.
You pull from the chaos well.
Yeah, I tend to be able to stay a little calm in the middle of the chaos, so I don't mind if the chaos builds up. I think that makes
you a good campaign manager.
I would say that is the thing, like the thing that people always say to me after a campaign or after a work experience. They say, like, you're able to be very calm, and it's like, it's a skill that I've worked on for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. That's what your report card looks like. Yeah. It's like, stays calm under pressure. Pleasure to have in class.
Well, yeah, and then I guess if you said you're a high school teacher, too, like, that seems like such chaos. What subject did you teach? Anything specific? Or?
I taught English, I taught world issues, and I think most relevant to my life now, I taught political science. Mm. So when I try to make that line about how I ended up where I am, I think like teaching teenagers about politics and teaching teenagers about being engaged and active in political life, I think that was that was probably what triggered me to get involved in actual politics. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this more or less stressful, would you say?
I would say it's less stressful.
I would think so.
I mean, you may have a whole bunch of people who are looking to you for answers, but it's not 30 people who are incapable of coming up with the answers themselves.
And pretty much would love to see your pants fall down or something equally embarrassing happen to you. Oh my god, the teacher farted! Happened to us once with a sub. She never came back!
No, she had to change careers.
She had to get a new life. She went into the witness protection program for farting substitutes. One time we bullied a substitute. In my grade 8 English class, we bullied a male substitute into cutting off his ponytail. I didn't do it. I was not getting involved. I felt really terrible. But he had, like, a ponytail. And they're like, where do you got your ponytail, you gay? Or something like that. Because this was 1998.
I'm picturing him cutting it off in front of your class.
You know, like, just crying in the mirror. Like, to be fair, he was a douche, but he did cut off his ponytail because the kids, but a bunch of 13-year-olds bullied him.
It's amazing, and you can get into those situations where you, I mean, I don't care what 14-year-olds or 17-year-olds think of me. You have a relationship with them, but I also know that they're young people who are figuring themselves out.
Yeah.
And I know I don't care what they think of me, but I can absolutely understand what it's like to be in that situation where they can bully you into just hating yourself.
Oh my god, I'm so terrified of large groups of teens.
Yeah.
I accidentally walked by New West High School when it was getting at 3 o'clock. I was like, oh no! I'm so scared.
Teens!
Youths! I dove into a bush and waited for the sun to go down. Which took a very long time because it's summer. So I was there for approximately 6 hours. In reality, I just ran away. But they're so young and fast, they just passed
me. And they can come up with super good insults, like, you're fat, you're dumb. I'm like, ooh, cuts to my core. They just go with the classics, really.
They're not finding, your secret, the secret thing that you're so... Is it John Mulaney who had that thing about how teens can find your most vulnerable spot? Like, oh, he got feminine hips, or something like that.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I never found them capable of really getting to the real stuff, but, they were definitely mean to each other and to me and, to themselves, to their own selves.
It's the only thing that feels like power when you're that age is just to hurt somebody else.
Yeah.
You don't figure out how to, develop it in and of yourself, except for, the most preternaturally advanced kids that are in every high school, I think you find them, and they're like, oh, you are, an alien.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be fine. And I don't know how, but you're going to make it. And then they end up being, artists and actors and stuff like that. And then they're totally okay. I went to high school with a few people like that who were, just totally out there beautiful and interesting and, had their shit together. And then they went on to become, fashion models or actors or whatever. Hmm. It's super cool.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I had students like that. And you can just pick them out. You're like, you have it all together. You are smart enough. And you can see right through all this high school stuff. And you're going to be fine and great. I don't even know why you have to be here.
And some of the rest of you, though, animals.
Oh, yeah. Some of the rest of them, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen to you.
I should drown you in the pool. I don't know many high schools that have a pool anymore.
Nope.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so. It would be really great to find out what happened to some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I have run into. I ran into one in a master's class once.
He
was a very smart young person, and I ran into him in this class, and it's like, of course it makes sense that you're here in this master's of political science class, but I remember you from when you were grade 9 and you were using your powers for evil and not for good. So it was interesting to see him. And then there was another one. I lived in a very small town in New Brunswick, and I heard this voice outside my window. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I was like, oh, that is the voice that every day in grade 12 homeroom was like, McLean! McLean!
Is it his name, or no. Is that the name of the school?
It's the name of his teacher.
I think of like John McLean.
Yeah,
or something.
So he just, that's how he would address me.
Because his kid just was like.
And yeah, I was just like, I know that name. It's like a name that haunts my nightmares. Yeah.
Oh my god! So you could just hear him outside of your house, and you're just like, oh,
yeah.
No,
and
I'm
it
not
was
going
him.
Out there.
I really did that thing where you like pull the blinds apart.
Yikes. Yes. Yikes. I'm still friends with my grade 10 English teacher.
Yeah.
She's on my Facebook.
Aww.
She comments on the things. Yeah. We went to lunch like a couple of years ago. It's pretty sweet. It's really nice to be able to still have those connections, even if they're like bad. Sometimes I run into like the creepy teachers that I had like at bars and stuff, and I'm like, you don't remember me, do you? You knew me when I was 14. It's gross that you're hitting on me right now. I almost said the guy's name like totally out loud. I was like, don't let's reel that back
when
on
you
in.
Said yeah. At bars, I thought you said I ran into creepy teachers like Ed Bars, and I was like,
oh Ed Bars, you say?
Yeah, the creepy teacher.
Ed Bars, the world's creepiest teacher.
So keeping your cool in the midst of chaos.
Yes.
So it was something that you did at your home with your roommate turned friend. I'm taking us back like
okay.
a couple of
okay.
steps.
Mm-hmm.
Bless we you. Went from like school to campaign back to friendship.
Yeah.
So you live in like you said that your standards are a little bit more relaxed in
they
a home
are.
Environment. And
yes.
So how did that work when so you how did you guys even meet to be roommates in the first place?
A friend of a friend. When
okay.
I moved here to do a master's degree, I just put out an email to everyone I knew who lived or had connections with the West
mm-hmm.
Coast and just said, I need to find a place to live. So
yeah.
through a friend of a friend, I found a place and I rented a room. Yeah. And I mean, I was on my best behavior because I was the new person in and needed
right.
a place to live. And I kept most of the chaos confined to my own personal living space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tried not to let it spread out too
Tell
far.
Tell them, see how many glasses you have in there.
So, yeah.
Where are all the glasses? I don't know! Poltergeists!
Or just to see the pile that's like the once warm.
Why don't you just go outside for like 30 minutes and then come back in and maybe they'll all be back?
They were there the whole time.
You just didn't see them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're clear. They're in the rain of glass. Fuck.
Just these are the strategies I'm giving you. To
no,
go
I think that's. I think I should look at something like that. Yeah.
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 It was a ghost.
And then, so you guys lived together for a couple of years, and did you grow to be like closer friends while
yes.
you were living together?
Yes.
And then, yeah.
Yes, we absolutely did. I mean, it takes a long time. I'm not necessarily a. Tell you everything about myself the first time you meet me kind of person. So
what's that like? I truly don't know.
Yeah. It's I'm only getting to know you in dribs
yeah.
and drabs
yeah.
and I'm realizing it's just like the thing that caught me the most like right away was just like, I love your sense of humor. It's so immature and hilarious.
Like, especially like that in a complex and fully realized adult when they
yes.
have a very juvenile sense of humor.
Yes.
Like, let's party.
Yeah. That's like
let's
that's,
draw dicks in bathrooms.
Like I already really liked you anyway from
yeah.
like just knowing you from other stuff and then like when we started working together then little things would like slip out and I was like, oh my god, you're so funny.
My favorite jokes are when you can say something super dirty, but it just sounds like a regular thing that you're trying to say. I told somebody that about my bicycle that because of the you know the old style of brakes where they like there's the brakes that like run into your wheel that kind cantilever brakes or those
right.
kind of old brakes and I just was talking about that how it damages your wheels and every time you turn around you need another rim job and I just like talking to people about things like that and just like pretty bold faces
and
saying
you, just,
those
you, keep, you keep such a straight face
yeah.
inside you're just like
rim job
so in just in line with the doing immature things
yes.
as a grown ass
yes.
I'm so notorious for drawing cartoon penises on things at this point that my father has now made this, like, a joke, so that anytime it's like, a town terrorized by someone drawing penises all over everything, he'll, like, find it on Twitter and then tweet
yeah.
it at me, he's like, what have you done? So he sent me this Florida City fighting butt graffiti problem,
that...
and said, hey, been traveling? So what I'm showing right now, internet, is it is a spray-painted ass that has somehow three butt cheeks and two ass cracks.
Three legs?
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
three-legged butt, and it's
yeah.
it's a triple butt, and it's a triple
wow.
threat, is what I'm going to say. It's a three-cheeker.
Yeah.
So I was like, Dad, I'm so honored that you you think that I have this level of innovation when it comes to my filthiness, but I didn't do it. It was not me.
As Shaggy once said.
It was not me. I saw the weenus on the sofa. It wasn't me.
No, don't continue.
Thank you. Okay. She needs to stop me sometime.
Do you just do it in pen or you do it like in spray paint?
Oh, no, places? I've never done it in spray paint yet. Okay. But I do tend to take photos when I do travel of other people's dick graffiti.
Okay.
So I got a really cool one that was like tied up in a knot and on a tree in Barcelona. So I got a picture of that. My dad was like, "Did you do that?" I was like, "I didn't. I found it in the wild." But yeah, I usually write it on their whiteboards. I go to my parents' house because they've got multiple whiteboards everywhere. And so I'll just like draw them in like their spare rooms or something so they don't see it for weeks at a time, and then they'll like text me a picture being like, "Ew." They act like they hate it, but I think at this point it's pretty amusing to them. I think that they like the little scavenger hunt of wieners. I send them on all the time. And it just goes back to my mom finding out that my friends and I, when I was like 7 or 8 years old, we drew a penis on our Operation game. You know, the man
who's,
like, naked, who but he's got nothing showing. So we drew a penis that was just, like, an oval and two circles on either side. My mom saw it, and we were like, "Oh, no, we're gonna get in so much trouble." She's like, "That's not what they look like." So, yeah, I was like, "Well, I'm gonna find out what they look like, and then I'm gonna get so good at drawing."
So that's Carrie. Like, you really felt that insult, and you,
You went with it.
25 years later, I'm really still like, I know I'm going to show you what a dick looks like. Oh, now I've seen a bunch. No, I haven't, Mom. Yes, I have. Anyway, so intense friendships, they're great. Yes.
They are great. They are great.
So how did it become like, now it's like many, many years later, and now it's like a much deeper friendship where it's like when I see you guys together, it's like you guys are just constantly, it's like a snark thing, but like in the most kind, loving way ever.
Are you like an app fan?
So funny.
I don't know. I mean, there are the same jokes. And I mean, whenever I tidy anything up, I definitely take a picture of it and send it to her.
Look what I did.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, do you approve? Do you approve?
Do
you
like what I did?
Yeah, I know. I tidied up.
And then she texts you a gold star.
And we do definitely have like a routine of things we joke to each other about. So the other one of the other opposite characteristics that we have, or one of the like matrix of opposites that we have, is that I, when I moved here, was apparently very unfashionable. I came from New Brunswick.
The most fashionable province.
I know people don't recognize the full like fashionable and cutting edge nature of New Brunswick, but it really, so I was like wearing like badly fitted jeans and,
but those are all in style now.
Well, I know, so she should have let it come around to me, because my like bulky boxy t-shirts and misshapen jeans are now fully the rage. So yes, so she did a little like 1980s movie on me and
makeover.
So apparently $14 haircuts are not the only option. Clothes should
fit a body?
Yeah. Apparently you're not supposed to use clothes to like hide every like shape. And you can have
good shape.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You can have more than two pairs of shoes.
What?
I know.
Christ.
Yes. And this is a problem. Christ. Yeah, this is the problem that I've realized that like it's gone too far, because now I have more shoes than I have places to put them.
She tipped you over the edge.
That's
and
a problem like, for your tootsies.
Yeah, because when I moved here, I had a pair of hiking shoes, a pair of climbing shoes, and maybe a pair of sneakers, and then possibly a pair of like wear with nice clothes shoes, but I did not have a single dress with me.
No.
Now no, I have so many dresses.
Could you do like a denim skirt and a t-shirt maybe? The long denim skirt. Miss that, guys. Ooh, yeah. Miss that.
You wear those
with a peasant shirt?
You wear those with sweatshirts in New Brunswick.
Yeah. Ooh, you got that full-on Duggar sexiness going for you, right? It's like, ooh, who's going to come a court?
It really is like that. So,
oh, Lord.
Yes.
So you used to live in New Brunswick and you lived like kind of, you lived rough a little bit.
I did. I know. I have fully, beyond that makeover, I have fully switched my life, so my 10 years ago self might not recognize my current self.
That's so interesting.
You just never know where life will take you, I guess. So
I look exactly like my grade 10 photo. Aww. Like exactly. Sorry, continue.
And I might look the same. I feel like people when they see me say I look exactly the same, but I lived in a little like tiny 12 foot by 12 foot cabin.
Wow.
There was an outhouse, there was like a pump for water.
Did you have to, like, put your things on the wood stove to have a warm bath or something? Or?
There was an outdoor shower. So there was only a summer living arrangement because it wasn't quite ready for winter.
It's quite cold.
It is quite cold in New Brunswick, yes. And summer is great because you can live outside and be outside, whereas that kind of small amount of space is not great for when you're confined inside for the winter. So it was a very kind of simple, country, rustic life. Yeah, and now I live in, like, the middle of a modern urban metropolis. Yeah. And I do things like tell people that you can get really good fancy donuts at the fancy donut store down the street.
Go to Cartem's or whatever.
Did you try this new restaurant? I'm like, there's a great craft brewery down the street. And
oh, God.
And I used to be like, I'm just going to go poo in this poo hole. And
in the pool.
Yeah. I have a song for it.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Because a remarkable amount of my... It's a very simple song. in so many places in my life, not just that, like workplaces, I often had outhouses. So the song that I would sing to myself and to my friends was like, I'm pooing on pee and I'm peeing on poo. That's it. That's all there is to the outhouse song. That's a simple...
Is it you do the opposite, Dookie, on the goo?
Would you sing it in the outhouse?
Yes.
But then how can you maintain you're just breathing through your mouth instead of your nose?
You get used to it.
So you could sing and like, it's almost like circular breathing, like in an orchestra.
An outhouse
just do it fast.
Used by a small number of people is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The outhouses where I went camping a little while ago. Oh, not fine.
Disgusting.
The pile was so close to the lid.
Oh! There's
so much dookie in
and
there.
So many flies.
Like, do people, like, the ones that are dug out, can they still get that big scooper guy to come and, like, suck it all up?
Yep. Depending on where they are. So one place where I worked was a backcountry lodge. Mm-hmm. And because it was in the backcountry in a national park, they had to actually remove all the human waste. So there were big barrels, like those big kind of industrial ones that you see at construction sites.
Right.
And you would poo on pee and pee on poo into those until they formed a dome that you would like look at and do some high school math calculations and realize that that's probably as far as you could get. And then you would get it's disgusting.
I'm and really horrified.
You would get a little like a little hand cart.
Okay.
And tip it out very gently and put the lid on it. Like,
okay, so you take the house off of the outhouse part then.
No, you go in the back and you remove the back and then you're gonna like, so that you walk up some steps to get in the outhouse. There's the barrel underneath, you sit on the top. Like,
so the barrel is not buried?
No, the barrel is at ground level, and the outhouse, you go up the stairs, and you're... Did not explain that clearly.
Okay, because I'm thinking, like, it's in the earth. Like, the ones that the camp that I went to were, like, in the ground, and that was... We had an outhouse at my cabin, which I grew up going to Green Lake near 70 Mile House. I don't know if you know the interior of BC very well. It's the Caribou region. Very nice. We had an actual bathroom, but there was, like, 9 people who stayed at this cabin, and so one bathroom, not usually enough, so we had the outhouse, but we just moved it at one point. Like, we filled it in and moved it.
Yeah, in small places, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was, like, a lot of people coming in to be guests, so it had to be moved out. So you'd have to, like, squish the lid on. Yeah. Like,
we'd
make some horrifying
put
sounds.
In as well. Yeah. And, oh, squishing. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's like the world's worst Tupperware.
And then you had to take a little hand truck and just, like,
move it out into the field. Lid does not pop off when you're trying
screw
to tip
it
back.
Screw it down really tight. Yep.
And then you don't hit any bumps.
And then where do you take it?
Well, you just...
To hell!
It's not one of those national parks in Canada that has a good volcano or anything.
No.
So you can't suck in the volcano.
Offering for Pele?
Pele the soccer player?
No, Pele the goddess of volcanism! Yeah, Pele the soccer player.
You would wait till you had enough of them, and then they would call a helicopter, and then they would fly it out.
We did airlift for this shit!
And then just hope to God that, like, the helicopter things don't break when it's too far up, that the impact would then have it come flying
and
down and the lid fall off.
And you would both, like, crash your helicopter and be in a pile of shit. Yeah, and at that point in my life, I had never, ever been in a helicopter, and I thought I never, ever would get to go in a helicopter.
You went
in
the poo helicopter?
Yeah, my poo got to helicopter out of there, and I never did.
Oh. your detritus got to go on a cool
it's
ride.
A piece of you, you know. I know. Just sending yourself
a little
all
piece
you.
Of you. Yeah. Stupid. I hate all of this, but it's so funny. I love acting 12, but like honestly, okay. puerile stuff makes me laugh so much, and I don't ever want to outgrow it. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. it's so innocent, right? Like. I mean, even a boner joke is so silly. It's just human bodies, right? Like, the pure, like, oh, dookie and farts and yeah. boners and pee-pee and all this stuff. Like, it's just so funny to me.
It is, and it's universal. I mean, you can laugh in different cultures. Like, farts are funny everywhere.
So funny everywhere.
And you can communicate with children because they're going to find farts funny.
My yeah. niece is almost 13. She still thinks farts are hilarious. Mm-hmm. So, great. She's yeah. very lofty and smart in other ways. She loves yeah. ballet, but she loves farts, yeah. too. I saw a video of a hippopotamus getting out of a, did you see this thing? Is a hippo getting out at a zoo or something, getting out of the water, and it's like a mom is recording it on herself. It's like, oh, he's coming out of the water! He's out of the water! And then you hear like a, you're like, oh? And the tail starts going back and forth, and then this thing farts for 20 seconds straight and shits while it's farting, and it's like swinging its tail back and forth, and it is splattering everywhere. There's like a 20-foot radius on this duke, my friends. And it's just the fart keeps going, and the mothers are like, I think we can move on now.
And the kids just
the kids are like, what did he do? He farted. Yeah.
Because every human person should be able to figure out what happened there.
Oh my god.
Nobody
but
should
like,
have
when
a question
goes,
about that.
He farted! It's so funny to me. Oh my god.
I'm like
crying. It's just thinking about a hippo fart shitting. See, that's why this is the best kind of humor, is because it's so universal. It's so egalitarian.
Yeah.
It's so good. Just toots, man. When I finally started farting in front of my wife, like, now it's the funniest thing in the world. We keep it to a minimum, but when we do it, it's well-timed. It's always for maximum laughter, because I got pretty good at holding it in after yeah. a while, but now I'll, like, wait till we're really snug, and I'll be like, hey, baby. Yeah? Hey, baby. Yeah? And she'll, like, full body laugh. That's so hard. Every time I do it. I just love it. It's
I know. Why even bother writing jokes when, yeah...
I just, like, take my microphone, just fart into it all the time. Just, like, it's all
maybe,
good.
Like, a whole comedy show where you just like, you want to see something funny?
Accidentally get booked for a bunch of six-year-olds or something and be like, well, my Jeff Goldblum jizz joke probably isn't going to play too well for this audience.
Yeah.
Why not just be like, hey, one time my dad farted so bad we had to evacuate the house. That happened. Sorry, John. I just sold you out. It happened when we were watching Dances with Wolves. And he farted so bad we literally had to like open all the doors in the house and leave. I still don't know how Dances with Wolves ends. Did we dance with that wolf or not? It was like a hot, nasty fart, too.
Oh, God. We had a bass player that had just the worst farts.
Farty!
The worst farts ever, 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 ever. And so you'd just be like playing this like really beautiful, intricate, like acoustic prog rock song, and then suddenly just be like, oh, what did you do?
Did that happen on stage or during rehearsals?
Yes.
Yes.
When it happened on stage, we never stopped because we're professionals, but the audience, you could see it in their faces. Oh. Didn't happen often, but yeah. every practice.
Yeah.
Every
awful.
Single. And it became like a more of a, he was just like, yeah.
You're like, no, this isn't funny
no,
or cute.
No, it's like being tear gassed a little bit.
A fart.
It wasn't as bad as my skunk experience, but it was fucking close. Yeah.
I think that a fart that is not too stinky but is very loud is the best kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the funniest and the least unpleasant. Or
yeah.
The most pleasant and no, least unpleasant.
Yeah.
Because it's a double neg here.
Yeah. The sound is definitely funny.
Oh, so funny.
The smell is less funny.
It's less funny
yeah.
unless you have to leave the house
yeah.
for it, in which case it's a legend. It quickly becomes a legend. So
yeah.
on that note, on the fart note, on that
yes.
brown note.
Yes.
Should we do a little tarot?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
you guys
yeah.
want to get mystical?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Tell you what kind of farts your future
let's
has
totally,
in store for you?
Let's totally take a whole different path.
Okay.
I asked right. Katie to bring the tarot cards because of our aforementioned political discussion.
What's going
to
happen? And if you could have, did you, like, could you have called anything?
No. It's like.
It just works for people.
Like, tarot for me is just like, Lord. I'm feeling confused and I'm feeling scared about, like, the new direction.
Don't be afraid.
You're weird about this new direction.
You gotta make friends with it.
I just
it.
Really want to embrace the new direction. I just want to take it all in.
I'm doing
and then maybe let it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then put it back in again.
Yeah, I just really want to
yeah.
see like how much I can take, you know?
You guys.
69. We should be adults.
It's the episode before episode 70. Yeah.
But, like, I was just, yeah, I'm feeling, like, a little bit worried where, like, okay. It's like, okay, like, now suddenly I didn't know. Oh, are you going to do Lori first?
Yeah. Okay. If that's cool with you. Oh, wait, not like that. That's stupid. So do, like, three and then, like, pick them up in weird
ways.
There's
just water over here, so just watch out.
Careful now. I mean, these are sealed, I think, so they should be okay. But so three times. Cut them three times.
Yeah. Okay. I was just, what I like using tarot for is, like, it's symbols that come up and it just kind of makes you think about what you're going through in your life and kind of helps you clarify.
I think so. That's the way I do it.
It doesn't predict stuff.
Unfortunately, I am better at reading for people I already know, which is like, that's not psychic. Like, no, it's not psychic. I'm just trying to help you interpret things for your life. Because I'm a super intuitive person. I don't think that I'm psychic or magical or anything, but I think I can help people, like, make choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I need to figure out what to do with my life. Like, I need to find a job. I mean, obviously, other people control that more than I do.
So, mm-hmm. I want you to pick out three in order, like, one's gonna come, like, it doesn't matter where they come from, but maintain the order of the three, so it's, like, anything that comes from here is gonna be one, middle, two, this side, three, basically, so just whatever feels good to you, some people like to put their hands over it or whatever.
Oh, man, I just was looking for ones that had, like, a nice amount sticking out.
That's fine, too, actually.
So this one goes over or under?
You can put it under.
Okay.
Yeah, and then a third. Also under. Cool. Awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
I could do other spreads, but I'm more I'm more versed to the three. And because, you know, we don't have a ton of time. So let's, this is past, present, future. Is generally, so we characterize the past. This is an eight of swords. That's a pretty sexy picture, actually. Two of wands.
Ooh.
And a one of discs.
Ooh, that looks nice.
Okay. So I obviously don't know them very well
yet.
It's
my friend Sharon, who we'll hopefully have on here. She likes to get, like, what's even your first impression of the pictures on the cards?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it kind of looks
I think that, like, this demonstrates, like, a natural progression to me, because this looks like constraint, knowledge, and wisdom.
Okay.
Like, the gaining of knowledge and the wisdom. So I don't know if that's, like, I don't want to, unfortunately already put that into your head, but whatever that feels like to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the thing that I looked at more was the fact that she can't see, like, that there's something covering her eyes, and she's it seems very passive. There, right? And it's not necessarily.
She's like a victim of circumstances.
Whereas this person has something, like, in her hand that's looking at it. Looked like she's the world, like, actually.
She's scheming or something.
Yeah. And she's actually putting her focus on something.
And it's kind of cool that then the third one is, like, also someone holding, like, a ball in their hand, but it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful spread. I think that this, like, indicates, like, a real progression more so than most, because a lot of people just get on a hamster wheel and go forever. So you might be somebody who lives their lives more in a more staged way. Like, you have a discrete experience and then you move on to something and then you're still taking that knowledge from before, but that you like to start over and try something new.
I would say that's fair.
Is the impression that I get from this. And so I like to read the description for each individual one and then try to make sense of it.
Okay.
So the Eight of Swords is, a lady has been removed from the castle and bound in isolation as punishment for some misdeed. Perhaps it is justified, or maybe jealousy or resentment is acting against her. Whatever the cause, it appears that she has accepted her fate. Her feet are not tied. She could easily slip from the loose bonds that confine her. Mm. Something keeps her there, something that causes her to believe in her own helplessness. Someone who believes that they deserve disgrace will always manage to achieve it. So the key ideas surrounding this card are resignation, depression, lack of self-preservation, belief that things are worse than they are. So that might reflect on that could be very far in the past, or it could be recently in the past. I know that the last time I read for you, everything felt very dense.
Yeah.
Like, that this was all, like, happening very recently, happening now, happening very soon.
Yeah.
And this could be a much broader spread. And because I don't know you personally, I can't make that connection for you, necessarily. And I'm not psychic, so I don't know. but I am, like, weirdly observant, I guess is the word I'm going for. So we have the Two of Staves, or clubs, or whatever you want to call them,
wands.
From the heights of her castle's battlements, a lady looks out over her vast domain. In one hand she holds a stave, and in the other a globe. Together they symbolize working her will in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
The stave that is secured to the wall of power is held in reserve. Her authority has not yet been tested to the fullest, but she's confident about the future. She is ready for whatever challenges may come. Anticipation of change or challenge, welcoming the future, optimism.
Okay.
This feels very real.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one in the middle, and I think it really speaks to your career. I'm projecting, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it is. And we have the One of Discs for this is your future card.
Okay.
So this is your present, which feels very accurate.
Okay.
That's... considering everything that's been going on. And let's go here. What do we got?
More opportunities disc. For doing good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So one of discs. What do we got? The Ace of Staves. Sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm never sorry. Here we go. The Ace of Discs signifies the beginning of a fruitful period in which anything you undertake will add to your well-being. Wealth will increase, health will improve, partnerships both professional and personal will flourish. Others will reach out to help you directly or with offers of material aid. Be aware, this prosperous time is a gift and must not be wasted.
Oh.
This opening in the garden wall is an invitation to a better life, but you must choose to walk through it. So the key ideas for this one, material well-being, prosperity, good health, and an unexpected gift of help. So, very positive.
Maybe you don't need to look for a job. Maybe someone's going to offer you one.
Extremely, extremely positive is what I'm getting from this. And, I mean, it's very easy to just look at the election as something that's just happened. Like, all of the things that happened yesterday, basically, are coming to fruition in this your middle, your present card. And definitely speaks to the future of this, too, because if, you know, the NDP and the Greens, their coalition is in government, there's going to be a lot more opportunity for people who do the kind of work you do. So I think that that's going to be something, like, you're going to be seeing some things rolling in for you, maybe an embarrassment of riches, or perhaps exactly the amount that you want. So you'll either have to be picking through things and deciding for yourself. This is what I'm getting with the combination of the present and the future card, is that you're going to have to, like, you will either be forced to make a choice between a lot of really nice options, or something so amazing is going to end up in front of you that you're like, oh, this is what I've wanted to be doing for a really long time.
And I think it's going to escalate what you already have done to be like, okay, new challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, the one in the middle was, like, your authority hasn't even yet been tested. Yes. So, like, something that's even more, like, you're going to really run some shit.
Who run the world? Lori. Basically.
Okay, this is good. I find that to be very helpful.
Yeah, and this is, and I can't, I really, I don't know much about the history of things, but if you were in a position where you didn't feel powerful before, or where you weren't sure what you wanted to do, but you felt kind of powerless to take a step forward, but I think you've already done the step forward.
No, that makes sense. I think there's lots of steps forward. I mean, I've made big changes in my life, moving across the country and moving into new career areas.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I think that this is very black and white to me, like in a way that usually a reading is not. Like, normally I have to fumble quite a bit to try to figure out like how to make sense of it, but this is like very straightforward. It's kind of like struggle, things are turning around, and the future is yours if you take it.
Yeah,
basically is how I would sum this
up. And I like that where it's like, don't like enjoy it and like don't take it for granted of like seize an opportunity. And that people will offer it to you is a kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. So just like to be keeping your
stay
aware.
Receptive.
Yeah.
Stay open to things as they come. Consider things with the appropriate, you know, gravitas and stuff, but also like follow gut instincts. A really big sense of that. Cause I know that that's something, Chris, you've been dealing with. It's like, I don't know what I want to do if things are changing. Mm-hmm. Like, something is going to be presenting itself as the obvious choice, but you're probably going to try to justify why it's not. And I think that, like, that I definitely do that internal, like, well, I don't know, what if this happens if I do this? But, like, if it feels right, definitely go for it. If it feels weird, pay attention to that and sit on it and just wait. Sit on it. And just see, like, see what percolates and see if you're still feeling weird about it in a couple of days, it's probably for a reason. And if you're really, really jazzed about something and you can't stop feeling excited about it, that's pulling you in that direction. So that's what I'm seeing with this spread, which is a very nice spread.
Nice. Cool,
yeah, cool. And it's nice to, take time and think about things. And I have definitely, I'm trying to think, there was something recently that I didn't want to do and I was resisting and resisting and resisting and felt awful about doing it, but I thought I had to do it. And then I didn't do it and I felt immense relief about turning down an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that was the right decision. I don't know why I felt like I couldn't make that decision.
That's so
feel like you need to take
everything.
All opportunities. You don't have to do everything.
Indecision is often a decision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not being able to decide something means you don't want to do it, probably. Yeah. But you feel bad about not wanting to do it. You don't want to be inactive. You don't want to look like you're not keen to do work. But, you know, like, those instincts, the feeling, like, I don't want to do that is real.
Yeah.
Oh, it was
needs to be paid attention to.
And, like, especially if you're going into things that have more of, like, a leadership quality, like, to be able to say, no, I don't want that in a decisive way, I think opens up doors to then be decisive about something.
Yeah.
And that, like, models leadership.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Your tits are so sweaty.
My tits are so sweaty. I just pulled out my dress and showed the huge line of sweat under my breasts. So, Chris, you're going to do your three cuts.
Yeah.
And then I guess we'll probably be cleaning this up and, yeah. and heading off. But I fucking miss tarot. I hadn't been doing it forever, we'll do so I'm glad it was your idea to...
I just, like... Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit kind of... Yeah, in a similar position.
Change is
like, what
hard.
Happens next? Change is hard. And I have a lot of competing kind of things in my life that I want to, like, get done. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I don't know where they're all going to fit. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, change is really hard. Oh, and, right, like, life is only so long. And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And I do want to do all the things. And I know that I don't get to do everything that I want all at once.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you can have it all, just not all at the same time. So I'm like, cool. I'm happy to space things out. But it's like, right now, there's, like, some interesting time things
but
that
what
are
to
all
do
colliding.
First.
Exactly. So I'll take you. You... Okay, so this is 1, 2, 3.
Brilliant.
All right.
Shoom, shoom, shoom. Thank you.
One was at the top.
Yeah. 2 and 3, and I love my cards.
Yeah, these are beautiful Art Deco.
They're not really Alphonse Mucha, but they are very similar.
Inspired. Ooh. Yikes.
What is
it's
that?
It's like a devil woman with her titties out.
Oh, yeah, that's my pass, all right.
So this is 15. I don't, this is like a, oh, yeah. this is a major arcana card. I don't know what that is off the top of my head, but it looks like the devil lady.
Well, there is a big
sexy
forked tail
hell.
Coming out of the back.
Yeah.
She's the hottest card I've ever seen in here. Normally they're like beautiful and aesthetic kind of. So in the present we've got,
ooh.
Oh my God, you got two major, no wait, this is a knight of something? The Knight of Swords, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is, like, intense. The visual of this is so much less, like, chill than yours. And then we have the Seven of Cups, which is like, oh, get away from me with all these cups!
And what is this
that
person?
That looks like a devil guy, too.
I know, with, like, a really scaly
it's
kind of
it's very,
back.
Like,
yeah.
red. But it cools off. Like,
yeah.
It
goes from
really
bright
hot.
Red to a blue.
To
yeah.
these, like,
yeah, red,
like
red
wings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, so this is, so I'll give you this to look at. This is your past card.
Wow, I'm juggling a bunch of naked people.
That sounds like about right.
Yeah, if that's my pet, that's like hot, hot debauchery, I'm into it.
Yeah. And this is your present card. This
Knight?
Is like
that's
you,
pretty intense, like head down,
well, that feels like what you've been like for
drawn.
The last couple of months. It's
get
just like,
done.
Get her done, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, with apologies to
oh, fuck
Larry
Larry
the Cable Guy LLC.
And yeah, this like definitely, it feels like there's an embarrassment of riches as well, but like, oh, stay
but
back.
But it's intense. Like, whatever it is like there's too many choices.
But there
maybe?
Are, and it's like, they're all kind of like, one's a snake and one's a,
yeah.
like there's some jewels and there's some stuff, but there's also like a demon thing and a pointy thing and like a masked person. So,
yeah.
Like,
they seem to,
I'm interested to see where this is going.
Oh no! Oh no!
Okay, so we've got your major arcana card is, I should know what they are at least by now, but I don't. So one day, though, oh, it is the devil.
Yeah.
It's the devil. The devil assumes a pleasing shape to beguile the vulnerable to give in to her temptations. Sounds like you. She entices the weak to chase temporal goals of wealth, lust, and domination, and her crooning dulcet words assure her victims that the lofty pursuits are foolish.
Hmm.
Oh. Why strive for goodness and kindness in a world that rewards neither? The immediate pleasures are all that matter.
We've talked about that at length.
The beauty of the devil beckons and enchants, but look closer. She wears the ram's horn that ruthlessly batter, the peacock fan of empty pride, the bat wings of the darkest netherworld. Consider carefully the things that tempt you. Tear yourself free of addictions, manipulations, and emotional
ooh,
bondage.
That's real.
Follow only those passions that lead towards the light. Key ideas. The allure of darkness, addiction, cynicism, separation from spirit, facing your demons.
That's a big thing, because I just played that, like, the show with my new band. I'm like, why am I not just a musician? I had so much fun being a musician. It was super debaucherous. I just, like, got wasted all the time, partied all the time. It was so fun. And it's like, I should totally just do that again, because I'm good at it, and it's fun. And then I'm like, oh, I should do something else, I guess. But that's...
You're
that's
like, oh, wait, I can't do this 100% of the time, because it makes me sick.
Because now I'm 30 and, like,
yeah.
32, and it's, like, too hard.
Yeah. So I think that that's actually a very intelligent contextualization of this card, because I think that that is very much like, you're like, oh, come on, let's go to the railway, we're gonna have some whiskey. Like, you're always a devil on my shoulder, which
yeah.
I love, by the way. And I don't want it, this is not a criticism, I think, but this is kind of like, maybe this is something that has its tendrils in the present, but its roots are in the past.
Yeah, so I should maybe start letting that unfurl even more, which
yeah,
is something
like,
that I've been thinking about, of like, moving into the next chapter as well. Mm-hmm. But, like, how do I still nourish my creativity while not necessarily indulging in
all the
trappings?
Is the debauchery side and the creativity side, is that is it inextricable? Or is it something that, you know, you can have in different measures? Mm-hmm. So I think that's worth considering. And in the middle, I really can never tell if this is, like, I'm bad with this particular, when it has the horse as a head, like, it's not a number, it's just a horse.
Yeah, it's a knight, knight of
I think
swords.
It's either the knight or it's the knave, because there's two different...
Okay. It seems somewhat confusing, I mean,
the knave, like... The knave is, like, the boy.
You're
like
the boy.
But, like, the knave is the page, right?
You're right. Yeah, okay, so that's the knight.
That's definitely the knight. He's
so
on a horse.
The knight of swords.
It's a fucking horse.
He's on the fucking...
And you're on it?
Fucking horse. Okay, so
get on the horse that gets on the bus that gets in the...
Yeah, okay, okay, so this is you. Get on the horse that gets on the bus that gets on the... Okay, so the Knight of Swords focuses on his goals to the exclusion of all else, including the feelings of others.
Yeah, what?
He moves aggressively towards what he wants, and he may consider other people as the obstacles in his path. He has no respect for the weak. Either deal with him forcefully or get out of his way.
Whoops.
The ruthless edge of his sword cuts both ways, for there is rarely true peace in his quarrelsome heart. If this card does not represent a person, it can mean a time of hard decisions and a need for change.
God damn it.
Called out by the cards again.
Drag me, Tara.
Drag you, drag you, drag you. Key ideas are ruthless or angry action, cruelty, warrior mentality, and enemy advances. Christy Clark.
Bye, Christy.
Retire, bitch! Sorry, retire, jerk face. And the Seven of Cups. I'm so curious about this, because I do not know how to feel about this. I feel confused, which I feel like is the meaning of it, maybe.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's too many things to look at there. So, Seven of Cups, we've got... Somebody who reads Tarot is listening to this, and they're like, oh my god, she's gonna die! Or something like that.
We all are.
Yeah,
all,
yes.
We all are. So
spoiler
I
alert,
that,
we're all gonna die.
We're just gonna have as much fun as we can before we do.
Hell yeah.
Or just work a lot. One or the other.
Yeah, I guess those are my two.
Okay, so
you
Seven
decide.
Of Cups. Seven, seven, seven. Here we go. Your future, Cress. A kaleidoscope of options revolves before you, each offering a different focus for your next step on life's journey.
Okay.
Love, riches, wisdom, worldly success, adventure, spiritual awakening.
Yeah, those are all the things.
All of these are more at your and more are at your fingertips. But how to choose?
Fuck off, card.
If all choices seem equally appealing, perhaps it is not time to choose. On the other hand, perhaps you need to not choose just one cup. What is your ultimate version of yourself? Is your spirit big enough to embrace a multitude of possibilities?
Yes.
Key ideas, confusion, too many choices, an overabundance of possibilities, and the need for delay. These are very, very accurate
but, like,
readings
now I
today.
Want, like, another card to be like, and
then
do
what
this
you choose.
One.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, let's do a one random draw.
Okay.
Then. Hang on, let me just quickly shuffle these just a little.
Because, like, I totally get that.
Yeah, no, that's the point you're in, and you're like, no, tell me what to do.
Yeah, which I don't think... that cards can do necessarily.
No, but,
I mean, it's just like, yep,
but
you're right, the feelings that you're feeling. But I'm curious to just take one and see what
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I would
no,
have
it's
guessed.
The same one that Lori had.
Okay, cool.
Around that,
it's
like
two choices.
Yeah, that your leadership needs to be
tested and yeah.
Hey, I think that this is like the opportunity that's right is going to present itself but hasn't yet.
So what is that? It's the Second of Wands.
It's
right?
The Second of Wands. So let's just reread it one more time.
With this context.
With
in
this
mind.
Context of like what is because you had a question to ask.
Yeah.
Was like okay, so that's the future. What do I do with it?
Yeah.
And so that with the intentionality of pulling that, you got.
It's cool that I got the same card that you.
I know.
Did.
Of
from,
all the cards.
From the heights
I know.
Of her castle's battlements, a lady looks out over her vast domain in one hand stave, one hand globe. This symbolized working her will in the world.
Yeah.
The stave is secured to the wall in power and held in reserve. Her authority has not yet been tested to the fullest, but she's confident about the future.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds like you.
Yeah.
It just sounds like you on a basic level. I think it's just telling me, like, you're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's not telling me what it is.
Yeah.
But just, like, this is ultimate confidence in your Capricorn nature. It's like, you got both, you'll be fine.
Yeah, and the
bitch,
idea...
you'll be fine, is what this card tells me. Yeah. It's like, you're so smart, you're so strong, and you are so multifaceted.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to the theme.
But so,
of...
like, do I have enough to fill all seven cups? It's like, yes, actually, is, like, the point where it's like, I do want to do all of these different things, so maybe it doesn't have to be just one at a time either, but, like...
Yeah, you're working your way.
No, that's what it said. This suggests, like, it doesn't have to be just these two, especially these two together, your seven of cups and your two of staves is, like... choices are scary and they're very hard, but the act of making a choice is a really, really important piece of personal work,
mm-hmm.
and that's something you're going to be coming into, and unfortunately cards are not being super specific about it, but, like, it does suggest to me...
I think because everything's so nebulous anyway.
It does suggest to me that you need to be in a position of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much authority over other people, but with the ability to make decisions based on your own feelings and the way that you see things.
Yeah.
So whatever opportunity that shows up that allows you to do that, grab it by the balls.
Yeah, which is kind of what I was thinking anyway. Thanks, Tarot.
You're welcome.
It Everything says, is solved.
We fixed it.
Yeah. did you want to do one for you, or are you okay?
No, I know what my future's all about.
Yeah.
It's just weedin' ladies.
Straight up dirtbagging it as a stand-up comic.
Hell yeah.
Drawing dicks on everything.
You know I'm going to go home and have like half of that bottle of wine, and I'm going to do my own reading, and then I'm going to come back and tell you what it was.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Well, I think that about does it for
it
us.
Sure
we know
does.
The future. The future
yeah.
is how I talk.
So I think there's like some lessons around like themes that we got out of this episode where it's like keep the silliness in your heart.
Oh yeah. Because
it's like levity and like juvenile humor is like very fun and it can like keep you young and silly and fun and buoyant.
As you're heading into new directions.
As you're heading into new directions. And you just gotta
That's
run
my favorite boy band.
You just gotta run into those new directions just face first. And you just gotta take as much as you can. And you just gotta really
You're insecure. Don't know what for.
Oh no, she's singing. Let's end
you
the episode.
Touch my dick.
Bye.
When I want-